You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
My name is Sonny Pitts. This is Stuart. Why don't you introduce yourself, Stuart?
I'm Stuart Pittman. I blog locally. I'm a TV photojournalist, and I blog about my job, which is taboo to many people. Well, you don't blog about it as your job. I've sort of made that my stock and trade. And I'm just a local blogger who's spent the past 3 years blogging about 5 entries a week, more than I ever thought I would. And I didn't start out to be a blogger. I've always dreamed of being a writer, and I just started blogging in order to sort of find my voice. And I think I may have found it. I'm 3 years in, and while everything I put online isn't worthy of reading again, you know, 3 years in, and I feel like I've got some viable stuff that I'd like to see made into a book one day. And I've got to think I'm not the only blogger who feels that way. I mean, you spend enough time online putting your heart and soul, I would think that lots of people would think, man, what could I do with all this material? The stuff I write is at times very autobiographical, in that it's not political. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm really just telling war stories and trying to entertain people. So it's not like I'm a political blogger who's got an agenda, and not that's a bad thing, but that's another type of book. What I'm trying to do with Sonny's assistance is turn my best blog entries into a memoir. And at first I thought, well, hell, I'll just go to Kinko's, put everything in order, hit print, boom, there I've got it. And upon further perusal, I realized that what I have is about 3/5 of the book I want to write. And I've written it all out of order over the years as the wind hit me for what to write about. And certainly not everything I put online would make it into a book or have any business being put to ink. But I do feel like I've got some viable stuff that could make for an interesting book, especially when I look in the bookstore and I see some of the other nonfiction books that feel like that are the exact example of what I want to do. So I'm coming at it from a very uneducated, average blogger point of view. You know, what do I do with this stuff? I know a lot about TV news. I know a little bit about blogging. I don't know diddly about publishing or getting my stuff in print. I've had some success turning some of my entries into magazine articles for industry magazines and TV news. And while it's cool to get paid for it, I'd like to, you know, take that to another level. And this is where Sonny comes in.
I'm Sonny Pitts. I'm a freelance writer, editor, mercenary word nerd, sort of how I put most of my bio. My actual job description pretty much varies depending on the client. It can be anything from just basically writing web copy to spending 2 hours in outer web nerdia discussing things like, do I need a blog? So I've done everything from blog consulting to marketing consulting to, you know, writing an about page. The way I got hooked up with Stuart is I have a client who hires me to work with some of her friends, colleagues, clients for various purposes, and name's Ruth Ann Harnish. I don't know if you've heard of the Harnish Foundation. She's with that group. And one of the people, you know, she just called me out of the blue and says, I've got this guy, Stuart, and he's been telling me forever about how he's going to write this book, and he's never going to get around to it, so you need to go kick his butt. And I'm hiring you to go kick his butt. And so I call up Stuart. She's got us emailing. And what I'm doing is I'm helping him edit his blogs and his blog posts and stuff into what we hope is going to be, you know, a book of some marketability and readability. Something like he said, some of the books that he likes would be, one of the ones he sent me to read was Kitchen Confidential. Anthony Bourdain, the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I read his book. I'm like, oh, this is good. I like, you know, that's what I say. I like that one. I like taking that. And we've been, you know, batting around a few things. Do we want to use his pictures to make a coffee table book with text, or do we want to do this narrative nonfiction thing? So we're still in the early stages. We're still picking out the posts we want to use and what have you. But that's how I got hooked up with Stuart.
And the beauty of that is, I wouldn't have had Ruth Ann Harnish with the Harnish Foundation contact me if I didn't have a blog. So the blog in itself has attracted the kind of attention that I've yearned for years as someone who wants to write. So I can't champion the blog enough. You know, without the blog, I wouldn't be anywhere near where I am now. And I'm only in the very beginning stages, but it's just another example of, you know, put your work out there, keep putting it out there, and don't plan out.
And I just want to make just a quick housekeeping note. I'm not sure if Freelance is doing this through the Harnish Foundation, because that's an entirely different level of grants and stuff. It may be one of her personal projects. I'm not sure. I don't know. Paychecks come in. I don't ask where they come from. I assume she knows her business. But one of the things we definitely wanted to start out on is the concept of a blog to book and what different ways you could take a blog and make it into a book. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to kind of go from the basics. Let's see. One of the, here's Blurb. There's also Lulu. One of the things about Blurb.com is they have something called Slurp. I haven't gone through here to find it. But Slurp is just basically a technique for scraping a blog. You scrape the blog, it puts it into a print format, spits it out. You're not going to get a very pretty product. But if you're blogging things that are very important to you, say family stories, your child's first year at school or something, and you want a paper archive of it, it's probably the easiest way to do it. They've got this program on here, I'm not sure what it's called. You download it, give it your blog address or whatever, it'll scrape it, and then it will put it, you can run through their POD thing and print it into a book. That's pretty much the bottom of the barrel there.
And that's as viable as any other way of getting printed in my mind, because, you know, a blog is not one thing, it's a container, not one type of message. So I see no disparity at all in any avenue you take. But honestly, for someone who has that dream of becoming, you know, a published author, it's mind-boggling the amount of choices one might have. And as a simple neighborhood blogger like myself, I didn't know where to start. But the more I examine it, you know, there's a thousand different ways to get published or printed. And what you're trying to do with it, I guess, determines which avenue you take. Mm-hmm.
And Lulu is another self-publishing. I don't know if they have a Slurper thing, but
I work at Lulu, actually.
Do you guys have a Slurper for scraping blogs?
No.
Okay. So you can, you know, format your books, you know, to go. Do you guys have formatting help? Do you guys have an open freelance board or something for formatting books?
We have templates. For Word and OpenOffice that you can download and have it formatted correctly when you pop it into chapter heading and stuff like that.
Excellent. And that's sort of your next tier up from a scrape book is to get it formatted in a book setting like this. And, you know, it's print on demand. If your grandma decides she wants 20 copies to hand out at the family reunion, there's 20 copies. If you sell 1,000 of them at your next conference, there's 1,000 copies. And you're not stuck with a garage full of molding books after the hurricane hit or whatever because you went with a traditional, I guess, a vanity publisher. And that's sort of an in-between, the vanity publishers. And I wanted to bring this up, just, you don't know about this one. This is Publish America. Have anyone heard of Publish America? Yeah. Have you heard of the Atlanta Knights thing? Okay. Publish America is a vanity press. Specifically, you pay them money, they will print your book, they'll give you 1,000 copies, whatever it is. But they sometimes try to advertise as a traditional press, which can fool people who think they're getting a traditionally published book into thinking, you know, they're with something equal to like Tor or HarperCollins. So a group of writers got together and wrote something called Atlanta Knights, which was the most unreadable piece of bull hockey you have ever seen. You can pull up the very best of it, and it you're just like, ay. And they sent it. And Publish America proudly published it, and then these writers unmasked themselves. Actually, the name of the author was Travis T. Giving some indication. And it's just really, you know, this is one of the traps you need to watch out for. If you're one of these people who wants to publish a book, realize that if you're self-publishing, you're self-publishing. It's not the same thing as traditional publishing, which would be, you know, another way to go. And the third topic is the third type of concept would be the book based on a blog topic. You want to cover that, I'll pull some things up.
Well, from my uneducated point of view, I knew that I felt like I had the beginning of the book I wanted to write, but I knew that I didn't have everything I needed. But upon further examination of what I do have, it seems to me that what I'm working on is a book based on a blog, as opposed to a printed blog, and that's a stickier wicket. I mean, that represents a lot more work than I initially thought it would, but to my mind, it's the route I want to go, because I believe what I've got will be at its very best if I go that route. We have a gentleman here who knows a little bit about publishing on the web. Tell us, again, introduce yourself, because I forgot last time I had your name.
Yeah, no problem. My name is Mitchell Davis. I'm actually here at Converge South. Dan and Janet Conover introduced us to this. It's been really great. And I'm here as part of Organic Process Productions. My wife's shown a movie in the film festival tonight. But I was one of the founders of Book Surge, which is in this print-on-demand space. And I was telling a story last night about, I don't, you guys probably know better than me when the term blog, I guess, became widely used. But we published my sort of blog-to-book story is... And it's a lot of things you guys are talking about here. It was just sort of done in hyperdrive. Was back after the attacks in 2001, after September 11th. At the time, I never heard the term blog, but we worked with a gentleman at a website called BlueEar.com, which was a global, it was basically a site for U.S.-based journalists who were stationed abroad. And so they would use this as a community website to come in, you know, stay in touch with each other as they were traveling around the planet. And so after the September 11th attacks, a bunch of these journalists started logging into that site and putting up posts, and there were plenty of people from the NYU School of Journalism and other places that also used the site. Jay Rosen, who I think spoke here a couple of years ago, was a pretty avid member of that community. So I don't know. I mean, if we would have tried to plan this out, it could have never happened. But just sort of spontaneously, we contacted Ethan Casey, who was the editor there, and said, "Why don't you go start pulling down anything you see of value, you know, that's being posted to your site or that you're coming across?" And he went out and put out a small call for submissions. And just took all of these different blog posts, basically wrote a foreword, put it all in a Word document, emailed it over to us, and we formatted it and had books going out within about 48 hours of getting the Word document. So it was about 19 days after the attacks we had a book finished. And it's one of those books that now, I mean, it's still, I remember there was a Guardian UK article written about it that was probably... The guy totally got what had happened, that it was a very kind of spontaneous sort of thing. And when you read it, it has that kind of feel to it. It has a kind of real time. I mean, one of the words that we used was book journalism, you know, that it was sort of like journalism, but with the authority of the book kind of thing. And it was a really cool thing. It ended up winning an independent book award. And
what was the name?
It was called 911-848-AM, Documenting America's Greatest Tragedy. That's the name of it. And it is on Amazon. It's a PhD book. But I think that was before, really. That was right when a lot of the community sites were being born. And I don't know if people really called themselves bloggers then, but it was a really cool experience. I think you guys are giving good advice that if you want to do this, there are a lot of different ways. You know, Lulu offers a great service if you sort of want to stick to some, which for blog books may be totally appropriate, traditional templates, or you guys take PDFs, I think, too.
You can upload anything pretty much as long as it's the right shape and that margin. So.
I had a great success with Lulu. I was curious about, you know, what it's all about. I was curious about the level of quality. So I dragged 12 pictures into a calendar format, and a couple of weeks later I got a calendar, and it was good quality, but then I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this? Great success. I mean, I was very impressed with the art that Lulu gave me. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got it, but to me, it was proof that yes, you can do this by, you know, as simple as drag and drop. You know, and there it is. And I don't think there's you know, nothing wrong with that at all. But having said that, I want to shoot for the moon. You know, as we all do, I guess. But what I want to have as a finished product is more than a transcribed blog. If you transcribe my blog, it, you know, parts of it are hard. I wouldn't want to put that in print at all. But I will say, taking the other route, trying to go the traditional publishing route, a lot more work than dragging and dropping into a template. So you got to bear that in mind when you're thinking about what it is you're trying to do, say a finished product.
I think the beauty of Found Man, and it is the same, is that none of, well, with the exception of Publish America, don't take rights to the book. I mean, it's all non-exclusive. I mean, so I know we had, you know, well over a dozen authors who just used print on demand to basically get the book out there, maybe get a couple of reviews, show a level of dedication to the book, which is something, I mean, print on demand,
right,
for the smarter big publishers is like a godsend, because, you know, what used to be a very sort of abstract process, now they can...
And expensive.
I mean, now they can go to some of the self-publishing companies and find books that have moved 2,500, 3,000 copies purely on the author's own volition and hustle, and it's pretty much edited, and, you know, it's way further down the path. They just need to stick it into their sort of marketing channel. So we had a lot of authors. We had an author sign a 7-figure deal with Simon & Schuster after self-publishing.
And we certainly have a lot to go up as well. And that's one of the things. We have a fine line between making them very successful and making them just a little too successful so they take their
right.
work and leave.
But that's always good. I mean, that's always good for the company.
And you can get traditional publishing too. Scalzi, I don't know if anyone knows John Scalzi. He's a science fiction and nonfiction author. He has a blog called Whatever, and it gets between 30,000 and 60,000 people a day. And he does a lot of writing advice. I tend to read it, and I've got this one. It was published by Subterranean Press as a limited edition. You're not fooling anyone when you take your laptop to a coffee shop. So obviously I'm writing. And I love this. He's got a new one coming out based on his blog, also called Your Email Will Be Graded, which is... And the thing is, this book is almost exclusively just blog posts. He's probably tidied them up, taken out some extraneous or immediate, you know, things that wouldn't make any sense. But for the most part, the blog posts, the chapters and essays you'll find in here pretty much are as they were on the blog, you know, maybe rearranged into some sections and stuff. And you have, Your Email Will Be Graded, delayed to 2008. But he's getting this is an actual hard publisher, Subterranean Press. He does a lot of stuff with them. Baghdad Burning Blog, which got a book deal and turned into, I'm not sure if the content of that is basically blog posts or not. You have Sandbox now from Gary Trudeau, from his Mill Blog Sandbox. And then there's people who have gotten what I call the book, not quite from their blog, which is where their blog platform has created something, and they get a book deal based on the topic, but not necessarily the blog itself. And there's any number of people who have done that. So these are the different things. You know, with his, like you said, he didn't want to take the raw blog posts because they are, and I'm editing them with them in the show sometimes. But at the core of these blog posts, which Roy, he's got some very good stories. I mean, there's been several times, which I've been glad I haven't been drinking a beverage when I was reading them, because I have my keyboard the way it is. And I'm reading through these, and I'm like, dude, this is some good stuff.
Well, I think the thing about blogging, I don't know how other people blog, but I got jacked up on good coffee and just pound something out and hit print and forget about it. And I know that's not how you're supposed to go about writing, but I can give a damn. You know, it keeps posts out there, it keeps
don't
me happy. Occasionally I go back and correct misspelled words, but... I think with a lot of bloggers, certainly myself, and I think most of them, it's pretty much highly unedited, just almost stream of consciousness writing. And that's the only writing that I know besides writing for television, which is...
We had Drunk Blogging Day last year, so, you know.
Yeah, and this is New York Hack. Stuart was just telling me about this.
And I don't know much about her, but people keep referring it to me because this is a woman who... is a New York City cab driver, mm-hmm. and has a successful blog and has morphed into an honest to God book deal called Hack. And I'm about to order it off Amazon, but I'm curious to see what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to look at that.
But this is the exact example of what I'm trying to do, in that she's telling a story about what it's like to be a New York cab driver and all of that entails, and a myriad of other issues. But she's basically allowing you a peek into her world, and that's what I'm trying to do with TV News. And some of my favorite books, nonfiction books that I read, are just that. There's a book called Rivethead. I can't think of the man's name. but he was featured in Michael Moore's movie, Roger and Me, if you ever saw that. But he is basically was a, he's not a blogger, but he was a longtime auto worker in the rivet department. They call him Rivethead. He wrote this incredible book about what it's like to work in the auto industry. I could care less what it's like to work in the auto industry, but it's such a great template to tell stories that, to me personally, it's inspiring because I feel like I'm doing that in my own department. And when I see these books being written and sold and read, you know, I think, God, man, you know, I've got to try that. You know, I may fail miserably, but if I do, I'm missing a hell of a chance to succeed. In that, I've got 3 years of material. You know, 1/5 of it is total pablum, but I've got a big pile of material that I'm looking at every day, thinking, what can I do with this? I know what I can do with it. I mean, in my head, I know exactly how it should go. Will I ever pound it out and make it a reality? I haven't yet, not by myself. So I was fortunate enough to get hooked up with Sonny and others who have looked at my stuff and said, it's not absolute crap and something can be done with it. Here's what you might want to do. And it's been a painful process. It's been a painful process because, you know, I've got favorite blog posts, as we all do, and though it may not say it public in our dark stars, but that's brilliant. Nailed that.
And I'm looking at it going, no, this one's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, I'm just pausing them out. I'm like, ooh. So,
can I ask you? Know, because I mean, I'm assuming there's some logic behind what's staying and going. I mean, do you guys have an idea of what the book is supposed to achieve that's driving that?
We do, and it's still
it's in part. We're at the point now of choosing the posts to make the sections. You know, like he's got an entire section on American Idol where he's covering that from the very first with like Clay Aiken. He's like, who's Clay Aiken? All the way up through, you know, some of these more recent ones. So we're going to have a section on American Idol, and we're compiling the posts and editing them.
Like my bloggers, I tend to write about maybe 12 different categories. Yeah. Once you boil it all down, and some of those, in looking at a pile of my favorite blog posts, just sort of sort themselves out, and it's been pretty logical. Again, though, I mean, you know, you can go any direction you want to with a book, but I'm trying to go the memoir route.
Yeah, narrative nonfiction.
Narrative nonfiction. And what that means is I'm having to take my favorite blog posts, which to my mind are just as they should be, and morph that into a continuative narrative. And I have nothing against blogs or book, you know, printed blogs, but I don't want my book, which is weird even saying that sentence, to, you know, you turn the first page and it's a dated blog post.
Yeah, right.
That's all really good, but that's not what I want to do.
The blog got the work done.
Yeah. So basically, you know, our job is to take these things and shoosh and make them, you know, like all the American Idol, to make that a continuously flowing chapter.
Right.
Instead of a bunch of broken blog posts. Mm-hmm. And which, you know, is one way to do it, but it's not what he wants. And it just depends on, you know, your topic, what you want out of the book, and I've written, there are several right reasons to do a blog book, and one sketchy reason, and we'll get to that. A couple of the reasons, to raise your profile, you know, if you're blogging about children's books or politics, and you want to, you know, be taken as more as just this screed-rating person out on the internet, having a book for sale, you know, at conferences and stuff, can definitely raise your profile, can get the attention of people. You can send them your book for review. You can build a platform as a professional or personal reasons or for a cause. You know, if you have a book on all the animal rights stuff you've ever written, to create a platform for a cause, that's a pretty good reason. Personal needs, personal satisfaction is one of the reasons he's writing. And a personal need might be, there's one guy I was telling him about, every time they go on a family vacation, they take all their pictures, take it to blurb, and put it in a picture book. So they have this big coffee table photo book for every vacation they've taken.
Which would be a fantastic thing to have. I mean, I can't think of a better way to sort through photos. And there are just so many different ways to, there are so many different products, I think, that can come out of a successful blog or even a blog, or any blog for that matter. I take a lot of photographs. They're just digital photographs, but you know, 2 out of 10 ain't bad. So that opens up the question: well, do I even try to include the pictures I've taken in this, or do I make it strictly text, or is it going to be all photos? And you know, these are more this process has opened up more questions than I ever thought I'd have. Yeah, I was trying to take advantage of what I've done.
I tossed him the idea the other day, totally derailed him. I'm like, we could take your pictures, make a coffee table book, and use the blog posts as essays to go with them. And now he's got something else to think about.
Yeah. So whereas I was trying to merely capitalize on what I'd already written, which is, you know, would be a viable avenue, I'm choosing to take it and make that the basis for hopefully something even better. But that's not to say that you can't, you know, take your 25 favorite blog posts and put them in the correct order that you as the writer know they should be in, and, you know, make some sort of publication out of it. What happens to that publication afterwards is a whole other session and show, and I don't claim to know anything about that, but I do know that after 3 years of blogging, what I'm doing now feels like what I should be doing. I don't know anything about blogging. I'm not a techie. I'm a TV guy who likes to run his mouth online. But I knew that if I kept writing, if I just kept putting crap out there, that whatever might happen with it would happen. And slowly but surely, it seems to.
Yeah. I don't read you every day, but I frequently go and read a lot of you at once. And yours isn't crap because you've got a voice. And that voice, you know, is stronger at sometimes than others. But that's why you're going to have a book, is because you're a writer with a voice. Well, and you're fine. I think you found it, and you'll continue to find it.
The correct response is thank you.
Well, thank you.
Personal kitchen.
Someone here yesterday said, you know, blogging just gets easier the more you do it. Bullshit. To me, it's gotten harder. I spent the first year finding my voice. I spent the second year using my voice. This year three, I sometimes feel like I'm losing it. Because all these great grand things I want to touch on, I've touched on 10 times. So for me, blogging is getting a lot harder. But then again, I'm not trying to do podcasts or video or sell something. I'm really trying to write. So I would like to think that I'd always blog because it's just so much fun. I mean, it's such a release. And I may never do anything more than blog. And if so, that's fine, because she talked about credibility and all that. I'm not the only TV news photographer that blogs, but I'm the king of the TV news photographers that blog. That's a very small kingdom. But by just steadily blogging for 3 years, I've acquired a great deal of industry credibility that I probably don't deserve. But that's fine. I'll take that capital all that I can. So for me, blogging has already paid off immensely, not so much monetarily, but credibility-wise.
Mm-hmm. And establishing your visibility and right. Your status as an expert. But I want to go into the one sketchy reason for writing a blog book. And this is, you know, it depends on who you are, and it's just a caveat. And that's writing for the prestige and status of being an author. Oh, I got a book. This is great. If you're understanding, you know, and if you go POD route, if you understand it is print on demand, it is self-published, and maybe you can go traditional publishing, get lucky. But that's one of the reasons these writers took down Publish America a few notches, because they're convincing people that having this vanity published book was the same thing as getting a book deal from Tor. And these people would get their 1,000 books and go to Barnes & Noble's and say, hey, here's my books. And Barnes & Noble's would go, whatever. And they won't put them in the stores. And, you know, maybe you can get them up on Amazon. You can get PODs on Amazon. Mm-hmm. How can't you?
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the traditional publishing world is concerned, vanity print and POD are not the same thing. And people can get burned over and over and over again, especially if they're the type who feel that traditional publishing is a big conspiracy theory to keep new authors out of the stream, and it's just for Stephen King and Rawlings and all that, and I have this great American manifesto and no one's publishing it because they don't like my politics, and Publish America sends them something. We will publish your wonderful book because we think you're wonderful and this is a wonderful book, and they get it published and everyone's like, yeah, so what, you could have just gone to Kinko's. And so that is, I just wanted to put that caveat out there for people whose sole reason is to be able to say I'm a published author. Because in the traditional publishing world, you're still not. You are a printed author, which is not the same thing as a published author, in the traditional speaking. But if you're perfectly content, you know, hey, I've got my book, and I can sell it at conferences, I can sell it to my mom, you know, and, you know, or sell it to all my news friends. Mm-hmm. then great. It's perfect. It's the perfect vehicle for that. And we're going to try traditional publishing. Who knows? I mean, as you may have noticed, it's the market's good right now for that kind of thing.
I'd just like to put in a word for independent publishing, which is I'm a publisher. I'm a children's book publisher, an education publisher. And they're between the big guys who have all decided that they're going to publish fewer titles this year, and self-publishing is this gray area called independent publishing. And there are literally hundreds of independent publishers out there who have from between 200 to 400 or 500 titles on their backlist. And so there may in fact be a group already out there that would be very interested in a book on particular themes, or somebody who has a strong voice. The thing is that anybody, unless you're an extraordinary writer, you are unlikely to get somebody just randomly coming to your blog, reading it, and offering you a book deal. Even if that happened, you'd be considered a mid-list author, and you would go nowhere without your active participation in promoting the book. And so there are lots of people who've gone the independent route and have sold many, many more copies of their books, sometimes up to 50, 60,000 copies, because they've built a following for themselves. Right. They've used the blog to create an audience.
Right.
But also because they understand from the get-go that with an independent who's got no money for marketing, they're going to have to do all the work.
Yeah. And this one, all these books... these books, his blog books, are through Subterranean Press. I don't know if you know them. Mm-hmm. They're small sci-fi. But he's a Nebula Award-winning sci-fi author and publishes through Tor also. He's the sci-fi books. He's got The Rough Guide to the Universe, introduced to Uncle John's Bathroom books. He does a lot of writing. A lot of it's traditionally published. But when he's going to do these smaller interest things, he goes to the Subterranean, small independent press, and walks the heck out of it. And as I was telling him, anytime he knows how to use his blog as a platform, not only to make a book, but to promote this book.
Do blog tours.
He just blogs. I'm writing today, I can't post, this is due out. And literally, by the time, you can't even get them yet. It's just, okay, it's available for pre-order. All of us on the blog are like, say, and he's a pre-order, and literally, these things sell out in a week. He's got us worked up to this fever pitch. We're so excited to get a chance to spend money on a book we're not going to get for 6 months. So it's not just about the blogging as a writing tool, right, but also as a platform.
And I, as a blogger, have always wondered that. I've got a minuscule audience. I'm talking like at 300 a day, and that's for me a good day. Now, if I write about American Idol, I get thousands, but if you want to sell yourself that, you can. But when I write my normal stuff, I average about 300 hits a day, which is just absolutely minuscule, and I realize that. But I wonder, what a publisher thinks of a person like me, and B, do they put any stock whatsoever in the fact that not only am I three-fifths of the way in writing this book that I want to write, but I'm willing to pimp it out all day long on my blog. In fact, I spent the past 3 years pimping out my name, my writings, and all that. And I don't know. I'm still learning myself. Is that any of any benefit to an author, or do they just look at that as such small chunk change that it doesn't even register?
And I think, what's your name?
Annie.
I think Annie's point is vital here. It depends on the publisher. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're talking to HarperCollins, 300 people on your blog? No. But if you're talking, to Her Press or Subterranean, yeah.
You're talking about, you mentioned that you're the king of the photography bloggers.
I'd say that.
Well, but you may only have an audience of 300 to 500 people, but it could be that the top 500 copies that are going to be sold are going to go to that audience. And so if it doesn't, publishers are interested in how many copies of the book they're going to move. But they will also look at deep vertical categories, and if you're the king of the category, they want to talk to you. They at least want to get a proposal.
And it's not just the people that come to your blog. It's your two news buddies who don't visit your blog. It's the people you work for, the various news stations you work for,
right,
your contacts. You could, these are going to be vital as well. I mean, he can use his newsroom contacts from all the different places he's worked to say, hey, I'm putting out a new book. Can you use a local Boy Does Good feature story on your news report?
And I have it. I mean, that's, you know, God knows I'd stay up all night doing that kind of thing. I thought probably some success. For the very small audience that I have, I get lots of email and lots of interaction from my readers because many of them are in the TV news industry. It's a very small business. It's very incestual. And they love to read about, you know, their lives through what I'm doing. I mean, you know, I'm telling stories that they're living as well. So while I've got a very small audience, it's a pretty fervent one. And I think there's a real danger to us sitting in your bedroom for 3 years, blogging, getting all this great email, thinking, man, I'm just, you know, I'm the king, and, you know, I'm going to just walk it to the top. I don't want to come across as that. But I think it's easy to sort of get that tunnel vision, you know, because you're blogging, you're getting readers, they're commenting, you know, they're building your confidence up. And now I'm trying to step away from that and take a really objective look at what I've got and what, if anything, I can do with it. So it's been a very educational process. And last year when Sue Polinsky asked me to speak on it, it was before I really got connected with Sonny. I'm like, what the hell do I know? I mean, that's my dream, but what do I really know about it? And this is sort of a product of my education. And
it's been a painful one. Way to learn something is to teach it.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, marketing yourself on the blog, I'm a big believer in talking things into existence. Mm-hmm. You talk about it enough, you might just convince yourself that you can do it, and that's the only way I know how to operate. So for me, even if it gets no further than this, it's been really beneficial to me because I'm now looking at the things I write about in my blog posts in a different way. It makes blogging new stuff slightly harder because I want to focus on what I've done as opposed to what I'm doing. Which kind of leads us in, and I don't know if I'm skipping things, but the real battle I'm fighting is not the who, what, why, where, it's the when. You know, like a lot of you, I've got a wife, kids, crabgrass in my front yard, and a pretty active blog.
And a job.
A thankless job. So, you know, when am I going to ever have time to cultivate my life's dream and still keep the blog post coming? Because to my mind, that's sort of the engine that built what I'm trying to do, and I think that's the biggest challenge of anybody trying to do this, other than self-publishing and accumulating what you've already written. If you're trying to form a book out of the raw mass of material you have, I think the biggest challenge is knowing when, because I don't want to neglect the blog, because it's what keeps people reading my stuff and keeps this whole thing going. So that's been the biggest challenge for me, and I'm willing to hear any solutions as to when I should find more hours in the day. Because it's a lot more fun.
You have more hours in a day for us?
No, actually, I'm kind of in the same situation where you talked earlier about finding your voice. And I kind of feel, I've been doing this for 5 years, I kind of feel like I've found my voice. And say for the last 4 months, you know, the day life has been so brutal that I either have gone days without posting, or when I do post, it's some little, you know, yay, the Yankees lost, you know, kind of thing. Trivial, quick hits. And it's kind of frustrating in that, you know, when I have the time to kind of write longer, more thoughtful essay types, which I like to do, you know, at least once or twice a week, mm-hmm. I tend to get traction and people link and come and discuss them, and all the beneficial things of blogging happen. I go a long, you know, lately I've gone a long time since then. It's actually stopped being as much fun.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is, you know, at the point where you knew that you were going to take your blog and write a book from it, did that alter how your approach to it? Because you say, well, hell, if I do any of these little quick hits, they're useless to me in the future.
Yeah, in a way it did, because, you know, I want desperately to get a book published with my name on it. If it becomes a doorstop, so be it. But that is my life's dream, for whatever it's worth. Being a blogger, it's been fun. I'll probably do it forever because it's masturbatory. But it ain't going to take me anywhere. I mean, you know, I could be the king of the TV photog bloggers for the next 20 years, and at the end of the day, I'm still schlepping a camera on my shoulder every day. So, yes, working on the blog and working on the book and thinking about it has taken a little bit of the fun out of the current blog. It's much more fun to get objective on the coffee, sit down, and just mail some screed out and get published. I mean, that's why we're all in, I think. But I sometimes now feel guilty that I'm doing that instead of working on the bigger picture.
But that's part of your life too, right? I mean, I think it's a good but hard question, because you want to publish a book that's about your life, that's part of your life. And do you think that, like, this sort of self-censorship is going to affect the honesty of what eventually gets published?
I think if I just put together what I have now, that would be the case. But, and understand as well, I blog about my job. So I'm the king of self-censoring. I mean, as long as I'm right, I could not be employed.
I told him after we make him famous from his book and then financially independent, then we'll
write the true story.
Yeah, they'll
tell all
the diaries, yes.
I think the reason I'm at this stage now, this is not about me, I'm just a very average blogger, is that I'm sitting on 3 years of work. I look at it, I think, man, that is about three-fifths of the story I'm trying to tell. And I almost go where I've come to a level where if I don't start pruning that now, then I'm going to lose the focus of it. Because I can get online every night and just rehash things I nailed 2 years ago. And that, to me, feels dishonest. Because those people who read my blog and have read it for a long time now will recognize the fact that I'm just sort of, you know, treading water. So it has made my blog feel less potent, if you will.
Well, I have a suggestion, actually. And a comment. The comment is that the 3 years of blogging as you found your voice, it's really paying your dues as a writer to learn your craft and master your craft. So even it's not that any of that is wasted, even if you go back. And I think for a book, you have a responsibility as the author to have a constant voice so that, you know, as you look back over the 3 years, you are a more, I'm assuming, you're a more accomplished writer now than you were 3 years ago. And when somebody buys a book, they have a different mindset about what they're going to find in the book, and they want to find a sense of continuity, unity. They don't want to be surprised by different kinds of writing styles. So that's an editing issue. Yeah. Exactly. I blog about kids' literature, and I work a lot with children's writers, and often what they do when they're working on a writing project is they take a break from their blog, and they just post on their blog, this week I'm working on my book. I'll be back next week to blog. And so they carve out time for themselves, because most writers are trying to make a living by writing, but they're also writing about things they can't get paid for.
Right.
So it's all about juggling.
That's why I was telling him maybe he needs to blog every other day, every third day, and work on the book.
Which even that, which seems like a small compromise to the blogger inside me, is just scary as hell. You know, I know quality counts, but there's also the matter of, you know, keeping your voice out there and keeping readers coming back, and certainly the narcissist in me is, you know, all about instant gratification. I mean, there's nothing to my mind better than a comment, even if it's totally off base and just some scribble, knowing that someone is out there reading the stuff that I write anyway, you know, it's just incredibly fulfilling.
And you need to do a podcast. We were just talking about that. Can record your blog post when you've got 10 minutes on a commute and then upload that. Yeah, let me get you started on this. He mentioned the comments. I wanted to just touch on that briefly. The comments in your blog, you have to get permission from the people who wrote them if you're going to use them in your book. It's just one of those, and people don't think about it. But if there was a particularly insightful comment that triggered another blog post, if you want to use that comment verbatim, you do need to get permission from whoever wrote it. And we were talking about a different legal issue over lunch. He's got a couple of blog posts that sort of use subheadings that are lyrics from music. You can use at max three connected words from any lyric. Over that, you have to get permission. So, you know, you can use a title, like Welcome to the Jungle, because you can't copyright titles. But as a lyric, you can say Welcome to the... As soon as you put jungle on the end of that as a lyric, he has to contact Guns N' Roses and get permission.
Which is just...
And pay royalties.
Which is a very important thing that I, as a homemade blogger, had no idea. So, and I think that goes back to, if you're looking to turn your blog into a book, and you want to go the traditional route, finding someone or some method in objectively looking at what you have is key, because I'm sort of blind to what I've written. I think we all are, you know. I'm emotionally attached to it, and I hate to rewrite, and that's the worst thing in the world for a writer, but I hate to rewrite. I'm a blogger. you know, I cut it out in print and I'm done with it. I like that. So whether it be someone like Sonny or I don't know who else might be in that realm, I think that if you're a blogger and you're serious about turning your lump of stuff into a book, it's key to get an objective voice, because only then will you have an idea of what it is you're sitting on. And it's not been an entirely pleasant process, but that's okay too, because I feel that that's...
I don't know, buddy. I'll have a wall.
You're not sitting on it like, God, I got to rewrite this forever. So while I'm no expert on any of this, it's been a very educational process. And honestly, if I didn't feel so deeply about what I'm writing and what I want to write, then I wouldn't go through this painful process. I just keep blogging, because that's sort of the never look backwards, just keep on blogging. You're as good as your last post. That's the fun to me. All this rewriting and putting stories together and continuity and rules and that crap, I can't stand. But I know that's what it takes to make it something other than a print on demand or a collection of blog posts. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I put together a book called Teacher of Our Town, mainly of my mother's writing. She was a school teacher for many years, and used Lulu and had a good experience with that. But what I found, one of the things I think is important is the economics of it. And that, you know, I could have pushed it to a traditional publisher. My sister actually did that on a book that she did. She sold 5,000 copies of her book. I so far sold 200 copies of mine. I got more money from mine than she got from hers. So think about it that way. I mean,
you don't think you can get a traditional publishing contract.
Yeah, right. So she's made like $5,000 or less, you know, and I made more than that. So,
you know, I'm certain I can sell 10 copies. Yeah. That's a lot of stuff. 10 rabid commenters. I'm pretty sure they buy a book.
Yeah, yeah.
No idea why.
Your wife.
And then spend a lot if you didn't set the price and put it on Lulu, probably. Right?
But and I don't know if other people got into blogging with that in mind. I mean, some people have a massive political agenda they want to push. That's fine. Some people are all about the technology. There's a million different, as we all know, categories of things to blog in. But you know, I'm going to be a writer before I've ever spelled blog. And to me, the blogging process has been a great way to develop a writing discipline that I never had before.
And so it's also a little less intimidating than looking at a blank page and going, "I need to write a book." You blog for 3 years and you probably have 2 or 3 books worth of text. I don't know if it'll all be functional, but you've got that much in sheer word count easily. Yes, it's easier. You do a little bit at a time. You wake up one day and it's like, "Damn, I got a book."
Mm-hmm. And having gone through this process, as shallow as I am, I got to think, man, I think people had 100 years ago. They locked themselves in a room and just hammered some shit out with absolutely no commenters and no attaboys. You know, I mean, I'm coddled because I have a small collection of fervent readers who will, you know, comment every other post and build me up, and I'm embarrassed to admit how much of a difference that makes. But it does make me wonder how people wrote books before the internet. And I know that's a very shallow thing to say, but I can't imagine doing it any other way than I'm doing it now, which is with a lot of help.
Yeah, and this article I've had up here, How to Get a Six-Figure Book Deal from Your Blog, this is, what's her name, Penelope Trunk, commenting on, writing on Pro Blogger, which, by the way, if you're a blogger, I highly recommend reading Pro Blogger every second of every day. It's really good. But she writes, you know, some things you need to do if you want to get that kind of like a six-figure traditional book deal. Solve a problem. Like, hopefully nonfiction is going to be the better seller. Have a big idea. Go for a niche and really, really own it. Have a big audience. But say they're old rather than young if you want to get money. Because as a traditional publisher will tell you, young people don't spend so much money on books anymore. So try to skew that demographic older and you'll get a chance on that. And have a lot of blogger friends to promote the book. Making friends out there too. And follow your conventions. And, you know, come in places like this and talking. Find someone to model yourself after. Definitely use your blog as the platform. Just some good advice, you know, on how to, you know, the basics of what, you know, how to know if you've got the sort of blog topic or want to, if you want a book and you just want to create a blog to start creating this book, that, you know, this would be a good, you know, primer if you're interested in traditional publishing, just as an idea about how to do this. But, you know, blogging is, and it, like he said, a bit masturbatory. So it just depends on the sort of topic, you know, whether you're going to have the sort of book that's going to interest a traditional publisher, or whether you're just going to go, you know, with print on demand and make all your money that way instead of getting royalty trickle downs. And, you know, there is that trade-off. You do make a lot more money selling your own books per book if you've got a book that'll sell.
But you're also more interesting to a traditional publisher when you have a blog, you have an audience, you are connected to the entire blogging community, which is like, you know, 100,000 blogs.
Right.
So you are more attractive for that reason alone.
Because you already have a platform. And if
you already understand self-promotion.
You know, let's say he writes this book and it's, we really kick the marketing, we sell 2,000 copies. If he comes to you for the Lenslinger tell-all book that he can't write yet, you're going to look at that. You're going to look at his blog. You're going to look at 2,000 copies and go, oh, yeah, I can do this.
The other thing that happens is sometimes people will self-publish or go with a small independent press, and they'll do 3,000 to 5,000 copies, and then you'll get approached by a larger publisher who's seen your book and liked it, and will, you know, maybe do 10,000 or 15,000.
Are they pretty open I don't know anything about the publishing industry, but they look at bloggers with great derision. I mean, they're
oh no.
No, they look at you as people who are already learning how to do the marketing themselves.
Yeah, right. People who can sell themselves, all they care about is if you can sell them.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And that makes you more of a sales-oriented person than someone who has sent them this manuscript and said, here, publish this, but don't ever ask me to do a book signing tour because I can't talk in front of people.
And books with a distinct voice sell books that don't, oversell books that don't.
Right.
So that's a key ingredient as
and,
well.
You know, by the way, do feel free to read this wonderful book. It's got some excellent stuff on. There's some pretty funny stuff. He goes swimming in a hurricane with his camera. That was pretty funny.
Well, I mean, much like anybody's, I mean, mine's very autobiographical, and I spent 17 years producing Daily News, and I have a lot of opinions on Daily News that I won't go into because it's not part of this. But what I'm trying to do is just share the many adventures I've had, some good, some bad. I do everything from the Easter egg parade to the widow's porch. And with my job, I have incredible access. To someone who wants to be a writer, man, get my job. Because you have access to people's lives every day. From
their
victim
to the best of it.
Yeah. What I did before I ever approached Sonny is I set up a separate blog. I went through the very painful process of looking at my 3 years of material and pulling what I felt was the best or my favorites. And that's sort of the lump that we're working from. And certainly everything that I say may not make it. But it really helped me in my mind by merely just categorizing it. Because I've got tons of stuff I've written on American Isle Behind the Scenes. I've got hurricanes. I've got, victims. The things I write, you can pretty much put them in 12 categories. And I never really realized that until I started collating my stuff. And it really helped. I wasn't exactly, I didn't have a finished table of contents when I was finished, but tiny step that way, and just corralling all that you've done. Because if you're like me and you're a constant blogger, you've forgotten 3/4 of what you've written. And when you go back and reread it, oh man, it can be painful. You know, things you remember is pretty damn good. You go back and read it, good God. So, like I said, it's a painful process, but an encouraging one. Because if I had not taken to blogging 3 years ago, A, I wouldn't have the discipline that I've developed. And B, I wouldn't have people interested in helping me because they would have never heard of me.
And you probably wouldn't remember half of these stories.
That is true. I waited far too long to start writing them down to begin with. And you know, anybody in any job or any walk of life can come up with interesting stories. We all know that. That's what blogging is all about. But it's a real educational process looking back at what you've done for three years, 2 years, 1 year. It's a little scary, quite frankly, because things, like I said, that in your mind were pretty good, you go back and you read and you see it for all the warts it has. But that's the process we're in now of cleaning that up.
Wart removal.
Yeah, wart removal. And certainly things that you can get away with in a blog, you can't in a book. You know, it's very loose, very, very lyrical. I find myself dropping in like vastly unneeded pop culture references that I know certain people reading the blog.
Sue says you've never met an adjective you didn't know.
I've got an adjective addiction. I got the tracks on my arm. I've got to lay out that stuff. But I come from it from a very uneducated point of view. I don't know deeply about writing, but I know what's in my head and what I want to write about.
I'll say you know more about writing than someone who's had a PhD in English never writes pamphlet.
Well, you learn by doing.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So we got about 2 minutes left. If anybody's got any questions.
Does anybody else who's blogged for a long time have that thing in their head that thinks just maybe it could be something more, or am I just delusional?
Sometimes, but. Then I think maybe I have delusions of grandeur and I
certainly
start to feel bad. But I still, ever since I was about 4 years old, I wanted to be a writer.
Right.
So I also kind of feel like, well, who knows? Maybe it will happen after all.
I think delusions of grandeur is part of the job description of being a writer.
That's true.
I got actually kind of the opposite notion a lot of times, like at least maybe not the text blog, but like in the podcast, a lot of times people say, well, you could use this to get into radio. So I've been in radio. I'm doing what I'm using this for to do what I can't do in radio.
Right.
If I hadn't been in radio, I wouldn't have had the reaction to it that resulted in this. So in a certain, it's not quite direct, but in a certain way, I almost feel like this is everything I couldn't do.
Which is what I do. I'm telling stories that I can't get into a 90-second presentation on the evening news. That are better anyway than the crap we put on there. So for me, honestly, the reason I started blogging was I was either going to leave my job or become the king of TV photog bloggers, because there's been great therapy in writing about it. You know, I often don't know how I feel about something until I write it down. And for me, this silly little blog has kept me employed for 3 more years because if I didn't have that outlet to vent about all that I hate and love about my job, I'd go sell shoes. So it's been very therapeutic.
The more you go out to work, the more stuff out.
That's just it. Now if I quit my job, I'm going to write about it. I mean, even my team recognizes that I'm in this constant loop, that if I was ever succeed in my dream of being a writer, what the hell would I write about? Because what I write about is the day-to-day. So that's another session.
You need to write a book about writing a book.
About writing a book. I feel like I could. Thank you all for hearing me now. Thank you.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.